And at a point, you saw that you were running out of fuel. So you pull into another service station and you are trying to fill up your car with fuel because you need to get to that destination, which for you is Scotland. It's just one way in which the destination, the place that we are going, can actually affect the things that we are doing. We may stop for other things, but that destination is always on our mind. It's as if the destination has a pull on our lives. You can call it the pull of the destination, you know, like something pulling someone. And it isn't just about Scotland. Even if you're going to work, or maybe those who go to school, if you're going to school, you wake up in the morning, you're thinking, how do I get to school? Or how do I get to work? It's kind of dominant in your thinking. If you go out to get a bus, if it's a bus you need help, is this bus going to get me there on time? If it turns out the bus is not coming and you need to get a train, is this train going to get me on time? Because the place you are going, that destination, is very influential. It has a pull on your decisions. And I share this with you, sisters and brothers, because it's one way of thinking about what Jesus says to us today. Jesus said quite a few things, but he finished by saying, think first about the kingdom of God. And what Jesus is saying is that we should see the kingdom of God as our destination. Because if we think about the kingdom of God as our destination, just like those people who may be going to Scotland or going to work, that destination will have a pull on our lives, such that everything we are doing, we will be having that feeling that at the back of our mind, it is God's kingdom that is truly our destination. There were other things that Jesus said. He said, don't worry about what you eat or what you wear and so on. Now, he doesn't mean that literally. It doesn't mean we should never think about what we eat or what we drink or what we wear. But what he means is that that kind of thinking shouldn't be dominant. We should not think about them so much that they become like our destination. They become the thing that has a pull and determines everything else. Anybody who allows that to happen, anybody who allows what they eat or what they wear to become dominant in their life, it's like our story about the person going to Scotland who then pulls into a service station and decides to stay there and decide that I'm not going any further. They would have forgotten the point of their journey. And Jesus wants us to adopt the kingdom of God as the point of our lives, so that even if we do anything else, it will be out of necessity, but not dominate our thinking. Even if we have to eat and we have to care about what we wear, it will be no more than somebody who is traveling on a journey might go into a service station to either eat or fill their car with fuel. It will be something essential, but not the dominant consideration. The thing that should have a pull on our lives should be the kingdom of God. But of course, we know, sisters and brothers, that there are so many things that can take God's place in our lives. The common ones can be material things like wealth. Other ones could be worldly concerns like looks, you know. How am I looking good enough? Am I, you know, attractive enough? Another one could be our status, how society thinks about us, you know, how our neighbors think about us in terms of how big in their mind we are to them. And these things can take the place of God and God's kingdom in our lives. These things, any one of these things, or a combination of them, can essentially become the destination that becomes dominant and has a pull on the things that we do. And the danger of that The sad thing about those kind of considerations is that you will never get enough. You will never get enough of them. If anybody whose life is dominated by how much money they are going to get, they will never get enough money. And anybody who thinks about how good-looking they are going to appear, they will never appear good-looking enough for themselves. Or anybody whose life is dominated by the status they have and how big they look to others and in the mind of others, they will never be big enough. Those things, sadly, the way they operate is that the more you get, the more you want to get. They attract you, but they never satisfy you. So they are like traps, really, because they hold out to you this attraction, but in the end, they never satisfy because you never feel you have enough. And it's totally opposite to God's kingdom and the way God's kingdom operates. In fact, Jesus himself said, and some of you will know this, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who carry heavy load, and I will give you rest." Exactly. Jesus promises us that when we seek him, he gives us rest. You know, the evil one who presents these other things to us, what he says to us is, "If you seek wealth, I will give you wealth." What he doesn't tell you is that you will never be satisfied. That the more he gives you, the more he whets your appetite for more wealth. There cannot be anything worse than receiving things and never be satisfied. There cannot be anything worse than that. But sadly, that is the trap of the evil one. So there is this problem that we have of adopting the wrong destination for our lives. If we don't adopt the kingdom of God and we adopt something else, it is bad for us, because it traps us into that sort of situation where we get, but we never get enough. But it isn't just bad for us. It's also bad for those around us, it turns out. Because, you know, when I was talking about the person going to Scotland and how that destination affects the way they sort of shop and eat and everything, well, the kingdom of God is a bit like that. Because when we adopt God's kingdom in our lives, the values of our lives and the way we treat other people is affected by that kingdom. God enables us in the way we treat other people. And it's the same with those who adopt maybe wealth or good looks or status in the way they treat other people. In other words, the destination that we adopt for ourselves actually affects, if not outrightly, determine the values that we have and how we treat others. Those who are dominated by wealth, they'll be thinking, well, the way they treat other people, if you think about it, the way they will treat other people would be, how can this person help me get more wealth? Or how can this person get me into become a bigger person, have more status, or have more looks? Because that's the direction and the destination of their life. Everything will be centered about how, what they can get out of things or out of people. But those who God is central and the focus of their life, they'll be thinking more about other people. God will give them the values to think about other people. Values like kindness, like generosity, like hospitality, even values like gentleness, values like patience, helpfulness, you know, determination to serve others. Those things come from God, because it's like God reaches out. It's like God reaches out. If you think about God as our destination and God's kingdom, it's like God reaches out to help us on our journey. Now, I don't know how many of you know that today is Racial Justice Sunday. Yeah? So today is Racial Justice Sunday, and Racial Justice Sunday is a day when churches of various denominations try to recommit to fighting for racial justice and recommit to fighting to eradicate racism from our midst. Some of us were at the cathedral yesterday. Yesterday, there was a big event to mark Racial Justice Sunday. All the bishops and archdeacons were there, and so many other people. Some people came from outside London, and it was really good. One of the key speakers was somebody from Barbados who was speaking from the point of view of the experience of people in Barbados of racism and slavery in particular. By the way, is there anybody here from Barbados? No? Okay. So Barbados was one of the... Barbados, more than any other country perhaps, was a country that was essentially designed around slavery in the past. And what many people don't know, some of you might know this, is that slavery is closely related with racism. Because what happened was that about the 1400s, when Portuguese were the ones that started it, they discovered that they could make money out of selling Africans. What they decided to do was, in order to make it easier for them to do that, they decided to say to themselves that Africans were not like them. That's how it all started. They basically said, the only way we can get away with this, both in terms of our conscience and in terms of what we say to other people, was to simply say that Africans are not like us. That way, we can then sell Africans and make money. And that's how the racism we have today, that's how it all started. Somebody just simply made something up. It was totally made up. There was no factual basis for it. There was no logical basis for it. It was just something made up to justify making money by selling people. And it ties into what I was saying. If you think about what I was saying about how values, you know, the values that people have, when people are justifying selling others, you can tell that the kingdom of God is not what they are thinking anymore. Because if they were thinking about the kingdom of God, it would stop them from doing that. The person from Barbados, he was saying something like, that the church, because the church supported some of this, he was saying that the church has not been preaching the gospel. The church has not been preaching the truth to be supporting something like this. Many years ago, I actually went to Ghana. I went to Ghana, where Ghana was one of the places where Africans were shipped out into Europe for slavery. And I don't know whether anybody here has been to one of the castles in Ghana. Yeah. And one of the castles, there's one in Cape Coast. There's one at the place called Elmina. I visited both of them. And think about this, right? That's in the dungeon where they kept the Africans before they sold them off. On top of that dungeon was a chapel. A chapel where the slave traders actually go to pray and presumably read the Bible and preach to themselves. And you have to wonder, what do they preach when they are in that chapel, which is above a dungeon? And you can see why the man from Barbados was saying that the church has not been preaching the gospel. Any church that allows people to sell other human beings clearly isn't preaching the gospel. But it goes back to what I was saying earlier. It goes back to whether it's the kingdom of God that is the focus of your thinking, or whether it is material wealth. Because you find that if you met any of one of those slave traders, you'll find that they are just ordinary human beings like you and I. But they have allowed the love for money to dominate their thinking and make them to oppress other people. And the lessons for us, it's a lesson for all of us. That lesson is that we should always keep God's kingdom as the primary focus of our thinking. Because it isn't just about the oppressing of people of African descent. even us, we can oppress anyone else. We can oppress the people living with us. We can oppress people who are different from us in any way if we don't allow the kingdom of God to be the key thing in our life. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's what I hope and pray for us today. Amen. Amen.